and we're going to pick up reading again at verse 22 and conclude chapter 2 tonight and maybe get just a little bit into chapter 3 of Genesis. So as you're turning there, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, how we thank you tonight for the opportunity to once again come and open up your word. And Lord, we ask tonight for the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God to rest upon us as we attempt to expound the word of God, knowing we're helpless without you, and that no good will come unless your Holy Spirit is the illuminator and is the revelator of Scripture. Only he can do it. We cannot, Father. And we know our hope and our trust rests exclusively in his moving and operation upon us and through us. Bless us tonight through the study of your word, Lord, which is alive and real and is the very, very substance of life. Lord, we praise you and give you all glory tonight. Amen and amen. Well, last week we had what I felt was a tremendous class as the Holy Spirit just seemed to take over and bring forth some great truths from Scripture. We were discussing primarily the marital relationship and how the two, and let's go ahead and read Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 22, just to put us in context of where we're at for our review. Let's make that 2:21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And there again we have the world's first marriage ceremony that God himself performed. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And they both were naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. I don't want to reteach it again, but last week we saw how powerful a thing that is. Over the preceding 2 weeks, we saw how powerful it is for the two to become one flesh in the sight of God. And that's a literal spiritual union in the sight of God that takes place, which makes it very important how we treat our spouse. Because, again, to use the illustration, if we're mean to our spouse, it's just the same as being mean to our own self. If we inflict pain upon our spouse, it's the same as inflicting pain upon ourselves. We'll suffer for that because the two are literally one flesh in the sight of God. And we talked about the proper roles of the man and woman as far as leadership goes. We discussed, had some very great discussion on what if the woman is more spiritual than the man, or the man is more spiritual than the woman, and that either one is wanting to do what's right and the other one is wanting to go another direction. We talked about, is that woman biblically bound to follow a man who is going spiritually in the wrong direction? And the answer, of course, is no. She is not bound to obey her husband to sin. The first allegiance is always to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the authority of his word. And that's to both spouses, either the man or the woman. The first allegiance is always to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about spouses wanting to choose churches, which was a very, very lively discussion. You know, and what's the criteria for choosing a church? I mean, a lot of times a person, if they're in a church that is a good church and the cross, let's just say the cross is being preached, and conviction has fallen maybe on a spouse that really doesn't want to live for the Lord and really doesn't want a deep relationship with God, well, they may want to pull that other spouse out of that church and go somewhere where it's not as, where the word is really not being preached, where the word isn't held to as being God's word. And we talked about, what do you do in a situation like that? You know, is the spouse bound to follow? And again, no. The authority rests upon allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ first. And we talked about the criteria for choosing a good church. You know, what is a good church? We talked about how so many people today make their decision based on where they're going to go to church upon factors that are really not that important in the overall scheme of things. You know, does it have a good children's program? Not that there's anything wrong with having a good children's program, but do they have dancers? Do they have this? Do they have a big screen TV? Do they put on shows? None of that is the criteria for determining what makes a good church. that what makes a good church is, do they preach the truth? Do they hold to Christ and Him crucified? And that should be the things that people look at when they're selecting a church. Because we further brought out the most important decision as a believer you're ever going to make is what you place yourself under spiritually. What teaching you place yourself under spiritually. And it's impossible for you to properly grow in the Lord Jesus Christ if you're not placing yourself under the right spiritual message. You just simply will not grow. You'll stagnate in your walk with God and more than likely become very frustrated. And that's why we talked about all that in the context of marriage, who leads, who follows, what's the criteria. And, we talked about how sometimes a wife has to take a stand on a husband who's unspiritual and let him know, I'm not going to go to somewhere where they're teaching something that's wrong. And vice versa, the husband likewise has to take a stand sometime, not lording it over on his wife, but letting her know what's going on here or there is wrong, and I'm not going to be a part of it. If I'm going where I know I should be, where the Word of God is being taught and preached, and then where Christ and Him crucified is being held up as a supreme answer for everything we're going to face. Because only, you guys know this, but it needs to be said right here, only a church that is preaching the right message is really going to provide you with any spiritual help at all. I mean, they may have a lot of other fanciful things going on, a lot of high-tech machinations and cutting-edge technology and beautiful presentations of all types. But it doesn't matter if the message is wrong. It will ultimately do nobody any good at all in their walk with the Lord. So that's a brief synopsis of everything we covered last week, talking about, in the marital relationship, who leads, who follows. And hopefully, do we have any questions on that before we move on? I think pretty much everybody was here this week. It was here last week, so I don't want to go. Yes, Mary. Let Phil give you the microphone here so we can get your question on tape. There you go.
I've always wondered, like, there's so many denominations.
Uh-huh.
Okay. When you go to heaven, I was taught growing up that there wouldn't be a Lutheran, a Methodist, it would all be the holy and the righteous.
You're right,
the way
Mary.
I was brought up. But then you say anything to somebody, theirs is right, Lutherans are right, and each one is right.
Everybody's right. So how do you know who's right, huh?
So how are you going to know?
Mary, you probably already know the answer to that. There's going to be Lutherans in heaven. There's going to be Assemblies of God, Church of God, Baptists in heaven. What puts us in heaven is our faith in Christ and what He did at the cross.
Well,
not a name on the door. That's what's right. Now, sadly, most churches today have forsaken the Word of God and turned away from placing their faith in Christ and Him crucified. So conversely, there's going to be a lot of Baptists, a lot of Assembly of God, a lot of Church of God, and so on, that's going to miss heaven for that reason.
Well, where did they come up with the different denominations?
That's a very good question, Mary. Usually there's different factional things that's a very good question. It's going to take a few minutes to answer, but I want to answer it for you. Let's take our apostolic brothers and sisters, okay? They want to believe that you have to be baptized in water to be saved. That's erroneous. That's adding something to the finished work of the cross.
Yeah.
But they choose to believe that. But I believe they're saved. I do believe they're saved. Why? Because initially they placed their faith in the finished work of the cross. Now after that they go into legalism that stunts their sanctification process and will cause them a very, very difficult time in their walk and their relationship with the Lord while they're down here on earth. But know this, you can have a whole lot of your theology wrong, really. No, because nobody's got it perfect. Nobody is perfect. We're not perfect in this church. Nobody's theology on everything, let me be more precise, nobody's theology on everything is 100% right, okay? Because we're all flawed humans. But the one thing, God's made it pretty simple for us. The one thing we have to get right, though, is Christ and Him crucified. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, and I'll get to you in just a second.
Okay.
Like some people believe there's going to be a pre-tribulational rapture of the church. Some people believe there's going to be a mid-tribulational rapture of the church. Some believe there's not going to be any rapture at all, which, you know. But what you believe on the rapture does not save you or make you righteous before God. Do you see what I'm saying here? If that person's faith is in Christ and what He did at the cross for them exclusively for their salvation, they're going to go to heaven whenever the rapture takes place. Of course, I believe, and this, I hope most of you in this church believe, in a pre-tribulational rapture. I believe Scripture soundly teaches that. But, you know, say one group broke off because they believe, well, we believe the rapture is going to be in the middle of the tribulation. And that's how denominations are formed, usually on something like that, on some little different nuance or belief. And what happens is, and Vonnie and I watched some video today, I hope I don't sound like I'm picking on them because most of us came out of this organization, but it was sad to watch the leadership of the Church of God and some of the things they're just grabbing at straws right now. We watched their general overseer, Dennis McGuire, today, and Ravonna, correct me if I get any of this wrong, he was talking about what motivated him and what made him keep going. You know what it was? Seeing other preachers at camp meeting. No, is that not what he said, Ravonna?
That is what he said. I mean, he said, you know, if you want to know what makes me want
to
preach, it's seeing
you come to people. Yeah. See, I worry for that, Mary, in response to your question, because God is not going to compromise on this issue of Christ and Him crucified. It's of paramount importance that anybody get that right. Now, if you get that right, you can have, you know, believe some other things. You know, there's room for some differences of opinion on certain issues. But that's how many denominations were formed, though, just on things like that. You know, like the Lutherans actually broke away from the Catholic Church. That's where they got their name from, under Martin Luther, because he went and told the Catholic hierarchy that we were justified by faith alone in Christ, not by taking of communion, you know, or confessing our priest or sins to a priest or to another man. That's really what started the Lutheran Church. But if a denomination does not keep their faith in Christ and what He did at the cross, and they start going into other things, they begin to lose their power. Look where the Lutheran Church has sunk to over the years, where at one time they were a stalwart for God. Same with the Assemblies of God, same with the Church of God. At one time, these were founded in true Holy Ghost revival. You know, of people that loved God and had their faith in Christ, Him crucified, and wouldn't back away from that. And now you have the leadership saying, well, what motivates me is going to camp meet and seeing other preachers there at their family. That's all that keeps me going. Well, if that's all that's keeping you going, you're bound to fall away because that ain't a whole lot to hold you in. You see what I'm saying? Go ahead. Then we'll get to Monique.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of it.
Like Church of God.
Yeah. You're right. You're right, Mary.
And like I told somebody, I said, that building sitting on a piece of ground
means nothing.
Is not gonna
Boy, that's good.
Heaven.
That's good, Mary. Well, you preach, Mary.
Woo-wee.
That's good, ain't it? You're so right. You're so right. And, you know, I feel sorry. Go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you. Yeah.
And don't go to church half of the time, but yet
they're church. Yeah, I know what you mean. And you know, Mary, at one time, I feel sorry for brothers and sisters that are in that. I have compassion on them. Because you know what? At one time, I was that way.
Amen.
I was. I thought the Church of God was the only ones going to heaven at one point in my life.
Wow.
Really?
I
yeah. I thought we were it. You know, we're the only ones going. And, you know, feel sorry for the rest of you all, but we got a corner on truth, you know. And I grew up in that kind of atmosphere, in that kind of environment. Oh, yeah. Mary, and you know, to speak to what you're saying personally, I know, as painful as it was, I'm glad the Lord has allowed what he allowed and engineered in my life. Because had it not happened that way, I probably would have never left the Church of God. But we had to, I think the Lord showed us all plainly what it was all about, the direction they were going. That's a good way to say it. But let me get to Monique and you, Bill. Monique.
Just what you pretty much said what I was going to say, Mary. In my opinion, Pastor, you said what I was going to say.
Sorry.
But that was cool.
Say it
because
again.
In my opinion, I think what happens is that we as humans, we either want to do a lot of work or no work at all.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I believe these people did get a divine revelation at one point from the Holy Ghost, and then they just locked in on that word, that one particular scripture, took it out of context, and ran with it. Mm-hmm. And so now you got Christians working themselves to death for the wrong thing with no belief or with their belief system off target. And then you got other Christians not doing nothing at all, which not believing anything at all, thus their belief system is also off target.
That's good. That's so right. Matt, this is leading in perfectly to everything we're going to talk about in chapter 3. You may think, well, what's all this got to do with Adam and Eve and the fall? It's got everything in the world to do with it, everything we're talking about right now. Bill, go ahead.
This is all hitting right at home with me personally. You know part of my story, and I'm facing another situation. I was in one church, and we had to leave.
Yeah.
And it's not the cross plus.
That's it, Bill.
And what I'm facing right now is I see our church tag along with another movement, and it's wrong.
Yeah.
And now my family's divided, but this is hitting right at home. But I will stand for the Lord, and I appreciate this pastor's ministry. He's blessed me, and you're blessed too to have somebody who won't go to the right or to the left.
Yeah, we're glad you're here with us, Bill. We love you.
I love coming up here, and it's a little bit of a drive, but I know that I want to hear the word, and I love the word of God so much that I don't want to compromise it with another movement.
Amen.
I'm tired of movements.
Movements don't help you much, do they, Bill?
And it's important that we have discernment.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you. I talked to my pastor, and he basically blew me off.
Oh.
And that's fine. I can handle that.
Yeah.
But it hurts our family.
Well, sure. Sure. It breaks your heart.
And so pray for me. Pray for my family.
We will, Bill. We sure will, buddy. Let's do that right now. Let's wait a second. Mahari, Dennis, Ned, all you all. Come over here and gather around, Bill. Let's pray for him right now. God's going to help you, Bill. God's going to help you. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I sense your Holy Spirit moving so powerfully at this moment in time. And I just ask you to strengthen my brother, Lord. We in this church know how difficult it is to stand up for the truth in the face of an onslaught of false doctrine and lies. But, Lord, you've given us the strength, and you've never failed throughout the centuries, nor will you fail, Bill. Father, strengthen him, encourage him tonight, and let him know, Lord, that as he takes his stand for you, you're not going to leave him, you're not going to forsake him, and you're going to work it out for him, Lord. You're hallelujah. Lord, I sense faith tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'll reunite his family spiritually, Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray for his pastor even, Lord, that you would open his eyes to see, Lord, that it's Christ in him crucified. As Bill so eloquently put it himself, it's the cross plus nothing. Just minister to him tonight, Lord, and let him know that, Lord, he's got a family here that loves him and cares for him. And we understand where he's at. Bless him, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, I know that hurt. I know most of you all know that hurt. When you see somewhere or something that you've been a part of for so many years, and that you love, but you know you're finally brought to the very crossroads where you see it's going the wrong way. And I've either got to make a choice and continue to go that way, or I've got to stand and go down a maybe a more difficult path for what I know to be right. Yes, Michelle.
I remember,
let him give you the mic there. Boy, I feel the Holy Spirit in here tonight, you all.
I spoke to Andy about this last week and asked him if he minded if I said anything. But when you first came and people started leaving the other church, Andy wanted to break off and leave and also go to a place where he heard a lot of people were going. And I was devastated. I'm like,
yeah,
I can't see us going to two different churches, but if that's what we have to do, I guess that's what we have to do. And all I did, I just prayed so hard. I'm like, God, just get this off his mind. Take, you know, just take it away. And he only mentioned it one other time. I just prayed again. And I said, you know, if we have to go to two different churches, that's what we're going to have to do, because I feel like this is where God wants me. And, you know, I just prayed. And he never mentioned it again. And then he, you know, as time went, he's like, you know, I think we do need to stay here. So.
Wow, that's beautiful. And yeah, that so illustrates what we were talking about back over in chapter 2 before we go into chapter 3. You know, she didn't rebel against Andy's authority and get in his face and make a long list of demands or anything. She prayed. And she let him know, here's what God's speaking to me. You pray about it. You know, that's a perfect illustration of biblical submission for a woman, Michelle. You know, and I'm not to make Andy feel bad, but I think Andy, by his own admission, would probably admit at that juncture, he probably wasn't walking as close to the Lord as he is right now, because God's done so many tremendous things in this man's life over the last year and a half. I just stand in awe of it, of what God's... I mean, who would have ever thought you'd see Andy up singing on a praise team? Huh? Amen. Look what the Lord's doing, you know, and I give the Lord a hand of praise. Yeah. And you know, there's other people in this church. I mean, Ed and Teresa, you know. That's one of the things I love most about our little body of believers. I mean, we're not here to put on no show or to press nobody. You know, everybody has the opportunity, if they feel called in a particular area, to get up and make proof of their ministry, you know. And that's beautiful. That's one of the things I love most about our body. And I think it's because of where our faith is that we feel a freedom to let people do that, because, you know, if somebody gets up and hits a few bad notes or something, we're looking for the anointing, you know. We're looking for the anointing on a person. We're not looking for talent or human ability. You know, it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. And praise God for all that. Well, anything else? Man, this was...
been blessed by the Lord. You've always had a word for me, and I'm so blessed, and I thank God.
Well, I'm glad
that he's got a word. I've been blessed every time I've been here. It's been you've hit me, you've touched my heart.
Well, we pray. That's what God uses. That's what we seek the Lord to do, Bill. Every service, that's what I want to see happen for everybody. And if the Holy Spirit's here, it will happen for everybody. You know, that's what having church is all about, man. And if the message is right, that'll happen. Because the Holy Spirit, and I just feel impressed to say this right now again. I know y'all have heard it 1,000 times. But so many Christians believe that the functioning of the Holy Spirit is an automatic thing. Like the church just shows up, and because we're the church and we're in a building, the Holy Spirit's there. No, that's not true. If you're believing wrong, if your faith is misplaced, as Bill so eloquently said it, in the cross, and you're trying to add something to that, the Holy Spirit of God will not function. Now, let me tell you what I've seen happen over the years, and you all probably bear witness with this. Monique touched on it. Church gets a word from the God, like this beautiful message that's always been right here in the Bible that God has revealed to all of us, Christ and Him crucified. It's real. It's truth. We're hanging to it. We make that the central focus of our lives in this church. But let's just say 2 years down the road from now, maybe in human flesh, we'd happen to get a little bit bored. Think, well, you know, yeah, we believe in the cross, but, you know, speaking in tongues is pretty important too. And the movement of the Holy Spirit is real important, which it is. But we're going to maybe, you know, try and work things up or bring in a dance team or something like that to make something happen. You know, because we're just not seeing enough happen in our services. Now, here's how error usually starts. And then somebody will, after so long of doing that, they know the Holy Spirit isn't there and He isn't functioning. So what do? They're going to work it up out of human emotion. They're going to shout, and they're going to carry on. They're going to make it look like something's going on if it kills them. And sometimes it nearly does. I've seen people do the strangest things in church. I'm serious. Waving flags, and I never forget this one little old woman, this one church waving this flag. She's about the size of Bonnie. And I think the flag weighed 3 times as much as she did. And she was just up there waving that thing, and I watched her to where near the end of it, that flag was drooped like this, but she still had to wave it, and she was just, you know. But the point I'm making is, is that the true functionality of the Holy Spirit will always happen if the faith of that body is right, if it's anchored in Christ and Him crucified. That's the only thing that the Holy Spirit can function through.
Right.
Anything else will grieve Him. Anything added or taken away from that truth will grieve Him, and He will not come. And a church in its hunger for revival, it's got that right. We're hungry to see a move of God, but they have been duped by Satan to thinking they can manufacture their own move of God. You're right, Mary. You're right. Spontaneous. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I've been there before, believe it or not. Yes, it is. There's no Oh, hallelujah. There's no greater feeling in the world than having Him touch you. That's right, Mary. That's right. He won't be in a dead church. That's why the church is dead. He ain't there. Man, this is good, ain't it? Woo! Monique, you got something you want to say? Yes. Yes. That's good, Mary.
An example of somebody getting stuck on something that's actually biblically truth, but going the wrong direction. Poor Carlton Pearson.
Yeah, yeah.
He honed in on the scripture that when Christ died, everybody was saved. Mm-hmm. The part he left out is that we had to believe that He died for our sins.
Yeah.
So he's leaving that part out and saying everybody's going to heaven. No matter if you, don't quote me, but no matter if you believe or not.
Yeah.
And he lost his church. Some other church picked him up, which is really sad because now all these fools is following him.
Yeah.
You know? And that's right. I mean, that's a perfect now-day example,
that's a great example
of somebody getting stuck on one truth and just running all over the place with it.
And that's how it always starts. I mean, Mary, your question kicked all this off, and it plays right into Genesis 3, which we're going to get into next week now. But this has been excellent, though, tonight, because you're going to see next week, error always starts when one of two things happens. Something is added to the Word of God, or something is taken away from the Word of God. That's the basis of all error right there. When those two events happen, you'll see in the garden next week, both those instances happened. Something was taken away from the Word of God, and something was added to the Word of God. And when the woman and man, Adam and Eve, believed wrong, it was a faith thing. They put their faith in something additional or something less than what God had commanded. And you know the result. Phil, you had something?
I was just going to say that's why a lot of people manufacture that filling.
Mm-hmm.
Like the preacher in Columbus, you know, partially, you know,
yeah.
You know, they have the organ going,
yeah.
and you get the feeling that, you know, that
something going
the Holy
on.
Spirit's there or whatever,
yeah.
But it's just pumping up. Yeah, it's a different anointing, yes.
Yeah, that's what happens, you know, and it can look, I mean, let's be honest, you tune like Rod in on TV, you'd think, man, there's something going on there, wouldn't you? Now, I'm just talking about just a quick glance, you see all the jumping, the flag waving, the music going on in the background, and, you know, just the whole charade that goes on over there. And the sad part is the Holy Spirit can be a part of those things. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, okay? I'll shout with the best of them, and I'll throw up my hands quick and praise God. Yes, all that's scriptural. But when you're doing it as a mere form or function, you know, just you can learn certain things. You know, and I believe that's the error that a lot of modern churches are in. They've taught people how to have church. Most churches today are human-driven rather than Spirit-led. And that's the problem. Mahar, you had something you wanted to say.
Yeah, scripture that comes to my mind when Jesus was out and there was a ton of hustle and bustle around him, but a lady touched the hem of his garment in the midst of that. And I think sometimes in those arenas, you know, people will even tell you, well, I know I got healed or this. And if somebody's got their faith in the right thing,
That's right.
In the midst of all that, God's going to move.
God's power will function. God will always honor proper faith.
Exactly.
Always. If the faith is right, God will honor it.
It's just the system that's created.
Exactly.
Is one that you can trust that this works, like you said, and get passed down how to have church. And you're passing down
a tradition.
A messed up tradition.
And that's what Paul said. He said it so eloquently in Colossians 2 and 8, is it? Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, through the traditions of men, to the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I mean, that covers, if you want to break that scripture down, that covers a whole lot of ground. Because that's exactly what he was referring to. The Holy Spirit knew that the traditions of men and the rudiments of the world was going to enter the church of Jesus Christ. And that people would be spoiled spiritually by those things. So, man, it's been great tonight. We ain't got nowhere, but that's good. That's good. I'm going to read these first seven verses of chapter 3, and we'll pick up there next week. And you'll see what we're talking about, hopefully. Now the serpent was more subtle than any other beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. God didn't say that. She just added to the word of God right there. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. In other words, God didn't really mean what he said. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. In other words, still the same old trick he uses. We're going to go to Luke chapter 4 and study the temptation of Christ and see that Satan's tactic has always been the same, always will be the same. Verse 6, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that was pleasant to the eyes, and it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John 2:15. There you have it right there in Genesis 6. And she did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And we're going to go next week to 1 Timothy 2:14. And the Bible plainly says it there. Adam was not deceived. In other words, the serpent beguiled and deceived Eve. She was tricked into doing what she did. Adam wasn't. Adam's was a blatant and total premeditated disregard for the word of God. That's what caused the fall. That's why I've taught you that had Adam done right, said no, the entirety of the human race could have been saved. Because Adam was the federal head of the human race. But once he ate also, and he did it premeditatedly with full knowledge of what he was doing. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. And we're going to go into a lot of what I hope will be good teaching and enlightening discussion on those verses of Scripture. Anything else before we dismiss tonight? Man, y'all have been a great class tonight. You all taught tonight. I could have phoned in my part tonight, but it was good. It was good. Mary, I hope we answered your initial question. Huh?
I didn't mean to interfere.
What you did was perfect, Mary. We welcome Holy Ghost interference, don't we? Amen. That's good. We'll take all that interference anytime we can get it. Listen, please be safe out there. I can't tell if it's still snowing out there or not, but I'm sure it's getting pretty messy. Is it raining now, Phil? Be careful going home. Some dates I want you to remember. On April 6th, we're going to be having a baptismal service, April 6th. And please be ready for that. And Monique and Mahari, they have a function going on here on April 13th, the women do over there. Would April 20th work for you guys as a potluck and a dedication day for Elijah? Will that work for you? Okay. We're going to have a potluck on the 20th then. We're going to be getting some lasagna. Bringing it in, you all bring desserts and more desserts, like you always do. God bless you. And And we'll have a potluck, and we're going to have a baby dedication on April 20th, baptism on April 6th, and very excited about this. Sometime in May, I'm waiting to hear back from Brother Lauren Larson, the Seventh-day Adventist pastor. I met with him tonight before service. He has cleared it for us to have services here on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in this church. And so we're going to be able to have Brother Lauren in for revival. So please be praying about that. Hopefully I'll hear back from him before the end of this week. Ravonna, you had something you wanted to say? Yeah. 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 If you want to be baptized, please just bring you a change of clothes and a towel. Okay, Michelle. Well, we're going to be running Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Okay, more than likely. I'm sorry. I don't have that fixed yet. Should have it within the week, I'm hoping. Okay, it's going to be sometime in May. I'm shooting to get it for the third weekend in May. I don't want to have it on Memorial Day weekend, but third weekend in May is what I'm shooting for. But that may change. I'll let you know within a week or so. Okay. Well, let's stand and go to the Lord. Boy, it's been a great class tonight. Go to the Lord in prayer. And I can just put away all these wonderful notes that I had up here. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for just the way your Holy Spirit moves. It's so beautiful. He knows just what's needed, when it's needed, and he knows whom to use. And Lord, there have been people in this congregation tonight that, Father, I pray you'll show them how powerfully they've been used by God. Just in sharing with us their need, sharing with us their heart, because there have truly been words of the Spirit spoken here tonight by this congregation. And Lord, we want your Holy Spirit to do it. It doesn't matter who you choose to do it through, Lord. I'm always willing to step aside, Lord, because we want what you want. That's our desire in this church. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you. Let everyone have a safe trip home until we meet this Easter Sunday morning and celebrate, as we do every time we're together, your death, burial, and resurrection. Keep your hand upon us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Be safe out there.